You're on Solidarity Breakfast with Annie, and we're going to continue with our conversation about dealing with issues of food security and general life in. But this time we're going to go back to Bendigo, and we're going to speak to Jenny Elvey from the Bendigo Family and Financial Services. G'day, Jenny. How are you?
I'm good, thanks, Annie. And you?
I'm good. Thanks very much for talking to us. We'd love to know. I was saying to my listeners that when you live in a city, you often, especially when you're in COVID, you often don't sort of get a sense of the rest of the state and what's happening for people. And yes. You're right in the thick of it, aren't you?
Yes, we are. Yes, we've stayed open right through lockdowns from last year, continuing to support the community that we live in. Which is a little bit trickier than Melbourne. We don't have public transport for a lot of our community. We don't have access the same as what some of the ones in clients in Melbourne would have. So they're coming at things from a different angle.
Yeah. So what are the major issues for people? COVID would have exacerbated it, but obviously yeah. There are things. And Bendigo's a really big place. Actually, it's quite spread out.
Yes, yeah, but we go for quite a few kilometres outside past Bendigo too. Our biggest problem is through COVID is public transport. Is if you haven't got a car, you can't get in to collect food. A lot of the food deliveries don't go as far as where our clients live. Increased rental costs now that we're coming through COVID, and high electricity, gas costs because they've all been living at home.
Yes, of course.
You know, and a lot of the internet, there's not many places don't have as stronger internet as what they need is for homeschooling for children. So there were lots of issues that, that they were trying to work through while they were isolated at home. And I think one of the big things that's come out of this is the sadness that a lot of them are going through. They've just been isolated and not being able to get out, and when you're living in sort of rural and community, you don't have that neighbour next door that you can just wave to in the morning, and you know you are quite isolated in many places.
Yeah, I completely understand. In fact, at one stage in my life, I did actually live in the bush on the top of a hill, and so whenever you saw a person, it was like it didn't matter if you didn't like them or not.
Yes. You would wave and say hi.
It was very exciting, you know. Now there's other things about country life for people who work, that people may have lost their jobs, or there's very high unemployment in pockets, and also people are paid less.
Yes. Yeah, that's right. I think unemployment's quite difficult for a lot. And especially, you know, through COVID, a lot of our clients have lost part-time hours as well, which is a huge loss of income for the family. There's been, you know, many food places that haven't been able to continue on, and that's Bendigo also has a large population of students with the universities. And we've seen the students that have been really struggling as well without the part-time hours that they, relied on to survive.
Yeah. Let's go back to the issue of a bad internet connection and also the increased cost for people who really can't afford it. Whenever people talk about the best possible situation or how we're going to deal with this and deal with that, like homeschooling, you know, they'll talk to people who have rather big houses and good internet connection and, a big table that the different kids can be in, or they can be in different rooms. Now, that's a bit of a fantasy for some people.
Yes, it is. If you've got three or four children and you're in a very small house and you've got limited internet connection, sometimes the kitchen table's not big enough to put a couple of them at, let alone three or four of them. And if you've got different levels that are trying to access different programs, it's very difficult for a parent. or for anyone to try and get through, especially the older children that are, you know, in secondary school. It must be very difficult for them to try and keep up with their studies if they've not got access to the proper internet. And some of them don't have computers that they have available at home either. They have one computer to share between two or three of them.
Now, Bendigo's not quite the same thing at places where I was, which was in East Gippsland, and it was a while ago. But when I was in East Gippsland, I was fascinated to find that the level of education of the majority of the people, and I know that Bendigo's a different slice, but not many people had actually gone to university, for example. So people's education levels were at a particular level. And it was one of the reasons for why it was so important to decentralise education, to give opportunities to people who live in the country to go to higher education and not have to leave, sacrifice drain the country areas of the young people.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
And so, go on.
There's still a lot that don't, that their scores aren't high enough to get into university level, and they're falling through the cracks. You know, we've been working with one of the schools here to try and keep students engaged in schooling, to try and supply them with the items that they need to continue on with their schooling. But when you come from that lower socioeconomic background, it's sometimes quite difficult to be able to keep up with the things that are needed to continue your schooling.
Yeah, and also for it to be valued. That's what I'm really getting at. It's not part of the system in, you know, like they're good at something else.
Because
that's the world that they're part of, right?
That's right.
Yeah, it's not as valuable to them. And so obviously this kind of stuff is really having a bigger effect probably in the country than it's having in the city. But, you know, we're not, you know, that's a straw poll. But the thing I wanted to get at was, you're from the Bendigo Family and Financial Services. How are you tackling some of these issues?
Look, it's been very difficult. We've stayed open through the whole time, so we've been available via phone if someone has needed support. Most of our interviews went through to phone interviews, which aren't quite as good as face-to-face, but we continued to do that. We've been trying to link services to clients, you know, if they ring and there's issues that we can't help them with, we'll try and link them into the places they need to go to. So and we've also had the front door. They've been able to come to the front door and talk to us through the front door. So we've still sort of kept that door open for all of our clients. And some of them just ring up just to say hello because they haven't spoken to someone for 2 or 3 days.
Oh, yeah.
Which is very tricky too. But with the lockdown that's happened, a lot of the services, you know, they've been open, but they haven't been able to take clients in the way that they would have without lockdown, and that's caused extra stress on some of the ones that present with us. So it means that we have to spend a bit more time with them and to listen to what they're saying. I think that's one of the biggest things we've had to do, is to learn how to listen to what they're asking for.
How many people work at your service?
Through COVID, we had 20.
Ah, right. Okay. Were you given extra support by the government? Yeah.
Yes, we were. Yeah. Now we're down to 13. I think we've got now. But through the COVID, we did have the extra because of the extra work that we were doing. We coordinated food deliveries to people, got food out into the community to those that just couldn't get in to get food. And that created a huge workload for us to what we were normally, you know, able to supply our community. Our food doubled.
Yeah.
We were getting out.
We were just listening to some stuff from Bridget Bentley, who's part of Bendigo Food Share. So you're obviously connected to them.
Yes.
Yeah. So that's a very interesting sort of. So the Bendigo and the surrounds, the people, grassroots organisations are actually working together to get a positive result.
We are, yeah. We do work quite very closely together. We have to, because we've all got limited resources. So we have to make sure that what we have got we use wisely. So, you know, it just works well to work together.
How are people dealing financially, from your impression?
Look, we have financial counselling program as well, and that's, I think at the moment we've got about 70 on our waiting list.
Yeah.
The last few months we've just been inundated with people wanting financial assistance.
Yes.
You know, they've come through COVID, rents have gone up, a lot of the moratoriums they've been in have ended, so now they've got debts to pay back. And they're just not able to manage.
No, it's stacked against them. And this, they were just talking about how house prices and rents have gone up something like 35% across Victoria.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I know some of our clients. You know, we had one gentleman the other day that has two children that he cares for, and his rent has gone up $35 a week.
Oh my God.
Now, that's $70, and he's on a pension. So that's a huge amount of money that he's got to find to keep him and his children in housing.
Yeah, it just goes to show that it's okay for some.
So yeah, I think we're going to see a new wave of homelessness because there's a lot of people that just can't afford to stay where they are. They'll be right for a few months until they get so far behind that they just can't catch up.
Oh, that's just terrible. Yeah, right. Yeah. We should. We have to finish now, but we should catch up with you again to find out how things are going.
So, yeah, that would be great.
Yeah, so we'll talk to you again. Thanks very much, Jen, for talking to me.
Thank you.